You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast, episode 28.
Hi, it's Jo here. And just before we get onto the show, I want to let you know that the doors to my Mojo membership are now open, a place where you get to hunt down your mojo and keep it so that you can earn more, achieve more and live more. Head over to my Instagram profile, jobritton.mojo, and check out the Mojo membership link in my bio. And now on to the main part of the show. You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Jo Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. Welcome back to another episode. In this one, we'll be talking about accountability and how it's one of your secret success weapons. And how by creating habits, being consistent and being accountable, you can put yourself in the best position to succeed. So it's so fitting that I'm joined by accountability coach Dan Bennett, who amongst his work has a passion and focus for health and fitness with his clients. And we all know the benefits of a healthy diet and lifestyle and how much exercise really benefits our mojo. Dan is founder of the Accountability Academy, which helps people to achieve their health and fitness goals and to sustain them. He's also my Mojo membership community's resident health and fitness expert. So I am super excited that he's chatting with me today. So welcome to the show, Dan.
How are you doing, Joe? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm good. So I wonder, Dan, could you just start by telling us what prompted you to start your Accountability Academy in the first place? Because you had a really successful and fast-paced career in the US until recently.
Thank you. So yeah, I was living and working in Boston in America. I had a pretty high-paced sales job there. I worked there for just under 2 years. And if you'd have taken like a look from the outside, you'd been like, fucking hell, he's killing it. Like nice car, nice apartment, good salary. And I was like, grind. And then one day I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror and I was bags under my eyes. I'd put on weight. I was not mentally probably where I wanted to be. I was really, really suffering with like anxiety and I wouldn't say I was depressed. I wasn't depressed, but there was definitely, you know, depression tendencies there. And I just kind of said to myself, this isn't the lifestyle you want to live. I said, if this is what's happened after 2 years, then what's going to happen after 20, 30, 40 years? And it was a heart attack waiting to happen. And anyway, over the course of probably 6 months, I left that environment, took this massive, massive pay cut, left that environment. I was like, right, I'm going to go in search of myself. I'm going to go find myself. And I called it my quarter life crisis phase, where I wanted to go and, you know, find out what I wanted to do. And in that time, I started a blog and I started a podcast. And I did all this other stuff. And it all came back to health and fitness and then personal development. And I think the two are very, very in line with each other. Yeah. I'm a big personal development nerd. I love reading and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, how can I create a business where I line up my passions for health and fitness and living a healthy, fulfilling lifestyle? How can I, you know, create something there, but then also tie it in with my passions for reading and personal development and like building better habits and seeing people succeed in whatever aspect they wanted to do? And slowly over time, from I'd probably say October of last year till end of January, this idea of the Accountability Academy just kind of came to fruition. Like I said, it started with a blog, me writing a blog. It had three people reading it. Yeah. I think now I'm now up to maybe, you know, 10, 12 people reading it. But,
I'm sure it's more than that.
Yeah. No, and then, it was one of those things is like, I just made the decision one day. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to create this business called the Accountability Academy. And I had it for this idea that I want it to be a massive community of people who are all striving to take control. I mean, that's all what we want, right? We want to take control of our health and fitness. We want to take control of our personal life. We want to take control of our professional life. And it all just came to kind of like, you know, it's come to fruition, I guess that's the word. Yeah, it's kind of been created over the last 6 months, really. And now we've got a bunch of members in on the health and fitness side of it. I also work with a bunch of people in their personal professional life, just basically helping them take control, make some really big progress and make it sustainable, because it's really, really easy to lose a load of weight really quickly. It's way harder to make it sustainable and actually maintain it. And that's what we want, right? We want long-term sustainability, right? That's what we're all shooting for.
Yeah,
100%. That's my story.
Brilliant. It's so interesting. And I think a lot of people, I mean, I can relate to your story. Obviously, I didn't work in the States and things like that, but I did get to a point like you where I felt you kind of have these moments, don't you, where it's almost like you're looking at yourself and you're thinking, what am I doing all this for? Where is this heading? And you have these, I guess, life-changing kind of moments, don't you? And I had a similar one and started my own business too. But look, we're talking about accountability today, and clearly this is something that is a secret success weapon. What does accountability, though, really mean? What does it mean to you, and why is it so important for success?
That's a really, really good question. So if you look at accountability, I think a real common misconception is that, right, Joe, you will come to me and say, Dan, I need you to hold me accountable. You'll need to hold me accountable. And people look at accountability as a crutch. It's like, oh, I just need someone to wake me up every single morning and get me out of bed. I need someone to make sure I'm doing the stuff that I need to do. And that is one aspect to it. But the way I see accountability, it's teamwork, it's ownership. It's you deciding to take control of what you want to achieve. And what we do in our academy is that we build a community around that. If you know that you're shooting for some goals and another person's shooting for some goals and you're all, you know, creating this positive change in your life by all taking control of your own individual goals and habits and stuff, but seeing other people doing it, that's really, really powerful. So there is that, you know, I'll hold you accountable, you'll hold me accountable. But it's also that other thing, it's community, it's teamwork. Like my whole life, I played team sports. I was playing football my whole life, like soccer, my whole life. And when you're a part of a team and when you're a part of a team culture, it's really, really powerful. Like you can create some really, really special things with that. So that's what I wanted to create. I wanted to take like these like aspects of my life, which had been really powerful, and put it into a, you know, a viable business where we can just help as many people as possible, really. So yeah, that's accountability.
Yeah, I really like that definition. I mean, I think, you know, it's so right that a lot of the time it's almost like you're not committing if you say, I need you to hold me to account. Because for me, accountability is about taking responsibility for your actions. But community can really help you do that, can't it? And I know for me, it's why I've got my Mojo membership community as well, because I know when I was struggling with my business at the beginning of the pandemic, one of the things that helped me most, that had the biggest positive impact, was surrounding myself with other people that were optimistic, that were shooting for similar things, that were fairly like-minded. But also, we all have our days of challenge where our motivation dips. And when you're part of a community that can kind of lift, support you, encourage you, champion you, also help you with your own, you know, accountability, then I think that's incredibly powerful. So I love what you're doing in that area. And I just want to pick up next, though, on something that I heard you just say about goals, you know, achieving goals. I'm always being a very goal-oriented person. I always like to think about, how do I move forward? What is the next thing to shoot for? And I think whether that's health, fitness, professional life, business, setting goals, I think it's massively important. But if I kind of think about, I do this a lot in my own health and fitness journey, but I really struggle in terms of achieving those goals. So lots of us might relate to this. We have these goals of losing weight, getting fitter, especially maybe quite now, as we've been through the last 18 months of, you know, a lockdown, and drinking a bit too much, you maybe eating a few more pies than you might have done. And lots of us, I think you said this before, you kind of start on the journey, you can lose some weight fairly quickly, and then maybe you get there or to get to the first goal or target, but maintaining it and sustaining it is something I find just so hard. And the weight goes back on, the exercise stops, and then I feel really bad, my mojo cup drains. Are we just setting unrealistic goals for ourselves? Or how do you go about goal setting yourself and with your clients so that it's something that is sustainable?
All right, so there's a lot to unfold there. So this is me personally, and I've done a lot of reading on this, right? And if you look at the people who tend to hit their goals, well, that's probably the wrong way of wording it. Okay, so what do you think is most important? The goal or the process and habits that you're going to do to create the goal? We live in a very, very outcome-based society. You don't hear about the person eating a chicken salad for lunch. You hear about the person who has lost 10, 20 pounds. Yeah. You see on the front of the magazine, man loses 50 stone and he's got the big jeans on and he's holding his waist out and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
You see, and we live in it, it's the same as everything. You see the guy with the Ferrari, you don't see the processes and systems that got him there, or you see the whatever it be, the person. If you see the person with the big business, you don't see what got them there. And everyone says, oh, I can't stick to hitting my goals. I can't stick to hitting my goals. Well, I go back then to say, right, well, what are the processes and systems that you're actually implementing to do it? When I say like what we do in the Accountability Academy, it's about taking control. You can only take control of what you want to achieve when you know the specific processes and systems that you need to implement. So for example, right, you said that we've come out of COVID, people have put on weight, people might not be where they want to be, right? And I say that weight gain and health and fitness, it's cyclical. Over Christmas, let's pull up our hands up, we're all probably going to put on a bit of weight. We're drinking, we're eating, we're friends, we're a family. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem. Over in the summer, when you know you're on the beach with your friends and you're going to the pool, you're doing all that stuff, you might be a little bit toner, a little bit more lean, you might have lost a little bit more weight there. But then that's fine as well. The problem is when people don't understand how to control it.
Yeah.
So does that kind of make sense what I'm saying? So if you, the goal is important. The goal is very important, but it's way, way more important to understand the specific processes and systems that make the goal. Because it's great for me to say, right, I want 100,000 followers on Instagram or 1 million followers on Instagram or I want £1 million in my bank account. But it's a pretty shitty target if you don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
So everything we could do is we should go, right, well, let's take it right back to basics then. What is the specific processes and systems, the habits? What can we implement on the day-to-day? And what can we make consistent? What can we make sustainable? So that you know over Christmas when you've put on 5-10 pounds or stone because you've been eating and drinking, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know that, all right, I know what to do. I know how to get back in control of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really, really common that people don't know how to take control of the certain aspects of their life. They don't know how to take control of their health and fitness. They don't know the right or wrong things they do. So going back, they don't know the specific processes and systems they need to do. Like I said, we can all put on weight over Christmas. It's not a problem if you know how to get back to that. It's like, does that make sense? So
yeah, absolutely. And it does make sense because obviously I do a lot of goal setting and achieving with my clients as well and for myself. And I think for me, part of this, because I'm really big on like the neurobiology of this and the chemicals that go on in the brain to keep your motivation. And a big part of it, I think what I'm hearing, it's a similar thing really. It's sometimes we might set a goal or a target and feel overwhelmed because it's so big that we don't know where to start. But breaking it down step by step helps to remove some of that overwhelm.
Exactly. And
what are the habits and that are gonna help you do that? And when you know your next step, that the motivation bit is taking action. And when you know your next step, you're always going to feel like you're making progress and you can keep going and you get that shot of dopamine, the reward chemical in the brain that goes, woo, this is great. So that whole thing that you talked about, and it sounds like a cliche and I never really understood it before till I kind of studied some of like the neuroscience around this, that whole thing about enjoy the process, enjoy the steps, enjoy the habits is massively important for sustaining your ability, really, isn't it, to get to where you want to be.
So there's a really interesting point to that. There's a really famous author called James Clear, and he did a load of research onto the most successful people, and he like analyzed them over a set period of time. And he said the people who tend to be the really, really successful, they tend to do the same processes and systems consistently. So when you were saying you have to enjoy the process, he says it's kind of like, who can do the most boring work that to them is not boring? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And he said, you need to make sure, it's like when we talk about motivation, like, is it, you have to be intrinsically or extrinsically motivated to make sure you're going to do the things. But if you look at really, really successful people, they don't tend, you know, it's not always they're like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, these really like generational icons. Not everyone's like that. Like there's a lot of successful people who just do consistently the same things consistently and sustain that over a period of time. So it's kind of like leads to the question, like it's not necessarily how do you get started? It's kind of like, how do you maintain it after 2 to 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks? And the way of doing that is to make it, first of all, sustainable and making it enjoyable and making it. So that's why we've spoken about this before. Is like, I'm all for gin and tonic on a Friday night. I'm all for going out and making it fun. The diets that you see where they're super, super restricted. Yeah. In the short term, that's going to be great. Yeah. You'll lose a stone in the space of 30 days, or whatever. Amazing. But right. Well, let's have a look. Actually, let's zoom out a little bit and let's see what's like after 2 months. Because I can imagine by 2 months, you've probably crashed and you've gone back to what you were doing before. Because
it's yeah, absolutely. Let's just explore this consistency thing. Because, when it comes to health and fitness, I know that I'm notoriously bad at being consistent with this. And I need to find a way, I guess, of enjoying those things that you're talking about, the repetition of things, and enjoy that and get really, really good at that, whatever those things are. So for me, I tend to start off really well, and maybe I'll lose like weight really quickly. And then I get to a point where I reach a plateau. I'm not losing the weight fast enough. Or maybe I've had this naughty weekend where I've not been good. So it's interesting what you just said about that as well. So maybe I've had this naughty weekend of drinking and eating too much crap, frankly, or the weather is pants outside. So then I find myself making excuses, not following through. Then I beat myself up and then I think, well, I've just failed, so there's no point carrying on. And then I go, oh, you're always hopeless at this. So why do we do this to ourselves? What advice would you give me or other people that relate to this to help us get back on track?
No, it's a really good question. It's super common, right? You see it, especially I'd say you see it in general population who, you know, you've got a busy lifestyle and you'll set yourself goals and you might be working a really busy 9 to 5. You might be a new mum, or you might have a family life and all this stuff that it's very, very hard to specifically spend time on a certain task because you've got so many distractions around you, right? And when you've got all these outside distractions, that kind of then derails you because, oh, I couldn't go for my run today because I had to take the kids to school, or I had to make dinner for the family, and it knocks you off your thing. It's really common. The thing I always say, right, and it's, this sounds really, really cheesy, but I don't mean it to be. It's like, especially in health and fitness, like 90% of the battle is mental. I promise you, I always say, like, most of what we do is talking around like metrics for success, what you need to be doing. We talk around all these different like concepts. Like we'll talk like this right now, right? And I'll say, all right, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do this? You know, have you thought about doing X, Y, Z? And we'll just talk it through. And you realize that a lot of people have skewed metrics for success. And like you were saying that the weight gain thing. So it's really, really common that people weigh themselves every single day.
Yeah.
Probably it's,
I do that.
Yeah. It's probably, I personally wouldn't recommend it because your weight gain from drinking carbohydrates or eating a carbohydrate meal, your weight's going to massively fluctuate just because of water weight. And if you're someone who doesn't know that a pound of weight gain is extremely natural, then you could derail yourself without even realizing it.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I've been really good. I don't know what really good means in terms of what I've been eating or drinking. And then
you feel like you've been disciplined and then you'll go up.
Yes, that's right. And then 1 or 2 pounds has gone on and I'm like, what? And then that derails me.
Yes, I can guarantee you that I can guarantee that's not 1 to 2 pounds of fat. That's your body holding on to water weight. If you went to the bathroom, you could all, like, if you weigh yourself first thing in the morning, you haven't been to the bathroom, that could be another thing that distort your weight. What we do inside of our academy, because everyone gets scared of the scale, right? Everyone gets scared of it. Like right now I'm in Spain at the moment. I'll be honest with you. I've been having a lot of gin and tonics. I've been having paella. I've been having all this other stuff. I can guarantee you right now, if I jumped on the scale, I'd be way heavier than I was this time last week. It's just natural. But so what we do is I try and take away the fear of the scale and go, right, you're going to have a fluctuation of a range of fluctuation anyway. That's natural. Don't worry about it. So for the first month that people work with us, we get them to weigh themselves only one day a week on the exact same time every single day every week. And then we just purely compare to the next, then we compare to the next week. I never say compare Monday to a Friday. Don't ever compare a Monday to a Friday. Never compare a Monday to a Tuesday, because in that time, it's too short of a time frame to see the actual results. We need to zoom out a little bit and go, right, Monday, we'll weigh ourselves at the exact same time next Monday. We'll keep all the parameters the same time. You go to the bathroom. You won't drink a bottle of water before you wake up. So you're keeping all the I'm trying to think what the scientific word is. You're trying to keep all the stimuli the same, I guess. And then what we do on month two then is I say, right, weigh yourself Monday morning, Wednesday morning, and Friday morning. Don't compare the three, just add them all up and divide them by three, and we'll take your average weight. Then we can compare that average weight to the next weight. Then we know the average, and then you have a moving average target that you're going down. And as long as that, if your goal is weight loss, which it typically is for people, if you can see that the average target is moving down, well, then you don't get distorted between Monday and Friday, because you're like, fucking hell, I've put on a pound since Friday. Well, no, like you haven't really.
Yeah. And that really makes sense, actually. I never thought about that, taking these averages. But, and you also mentioned about we kind of set ourselves up with the wrong success measures, really.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Right. It's easy, right? So, okay. So look at a business person, for example. When you're starting a business, what's your metric for success? Is it happiness, fulfillment from your work, or is it having a massive bank account? Is it having 10 million quid in your bank account?
Yeah.
A lot of people shoot, I personally believe, for the wrong metric of success. Look, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be financially free and have, you know, financial independence. And I was like, it's amazing. That's an amazing goal to shoot for. But surely if you're owning a business, the point of that business is to create a service that helps a lot of people. You enjoy it. You get fulfillment from it. That should be the natural success measure, not that you've got 100 million in the bank.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people with 100 million in the bank who are probably
not very happy. Yeah,
exactly. So then it's the same with health and fitness, right? A lot of what we do is just literally change the mindset on it. Okay, so why is a metric for success for you 1 pound in weight loss? Why is not a metric for success for you that you feel better, you feel a bit more self-esteem, you've got a bit more self-confidence? And if we set a performance goal, which I'm always telling people, let's shoot for performance-based goals. So like, you've hit 3 walks this week and you've now run your first 1K. That's fucking amazing. That's a really good metric for success. By doing all these things, a natural byproduct of walking more, getting out more, moving more, eating healthier, a natural byproduct of that is going to be weight loss anyway.
Yes, amazing. Performance targets.
Yeah.
That makes such logical sense that the byproducts will be those things that you want to achieve.
And you can kind of switch that on its head and go into any other life. Right, so if you were trying, let's make a funny example, right? So you're a guy or a girl and you want to find a bunch of guys or girls to go on dates with, right? You don't care about, I'm trying to think of how we can make this one work, but like the number of girls or guys you message, you know, you look at the processes and the systems of the performance, go, right, if I message 100 girls this week, or 100 girls this month, you know, the byproduct of that is that you'll probably have more girls to go on dates with you. Same with the business. It's like more outreach means the more sales. It's kind of like it's really, really common. People were like, right, I'm only going to be happy when I've lost 10 pounds. Once I've been happy. Well, trust me, I know a lot of people who have lost 10 pounds and they feel shitty because they've fucking not drank water. They've eaten lettuce for the week. But
they're absolutely miserable.
And they're sitting there watching their significant other enjoy a nice big healthy meal or go out, and they're sitting there going, oh, I'm resentful, that bastard's eating whatever he's eating. And you're not. Like, you need to shoot for the right metric for success. So like I was saying, like, we get moving more, we get more steps in, we go to the gym more, we start tracking our food a little bit, just so not to cause anxiety, just so we know what we're putting into our body. Yeah. We do all these things, and guess what? As a natural byproduct of that, the weight's going to come off anyway.
Brilliant. I love that. Absolutely love that. Now, you also, I've heard you talk about mindset as part of this and how we think and believe. I am a strong believer in influences the results that we get. So if we're stuck in this negative mindset, this you know, the world is bad and I can't do this. Or if we don't believe we can achieve it, the likelihood is that it won't happen. So how much of all of this stuff in shooting for your health and fitness goals is really all about mindset and the belief that you can do it? Because I know, for example, when I was young, I heard a lot of stuff about me being a big girl. Mm-hmm. When I think back, I wasn't really, when I see photographs of me as a child, I wasn't a big girl. I mean, I wasn't the tiniest, but I wasn't a big girl. But I used to overhear those like conversations. And also I'm not a natural at sport. And I was always the last to be picked by the kids on the sports team at school. You know, you have a PE lesson and it would be pick the teams and there would be me. I used to dread it because it would be me always waiting to be picked last. Well, you're not picked last, you're by default, aren't you? And you watch everybody's face go, all right, come on then, she's on our team. So consequently, I grew up thinking I was rubbish at sport, I had body confidence issues, and this has always been a really big block for me to even start things. And so much of the fitness industry, I see like online, on Instagram, all these amazingly toned like bodies, they've probably all been filtered, haven't they? But you know,
without a doubt.
Every day, none of them clearly look like me. None of them feel accessible to me. None of the stuff feels like it's attainable. Or I actually want to look like that. I just want to feel better and look better. So I don't relate to it. And I know it's supposed to be aspirational, but then I just don't believe this could ever be me. So I don't get going. So what are your views on this? And how would you help somebody like me? How would you help me get going and have the belief that I can get fitter and healthier?
Well, and by the way, it's pretty, so am I allowed to swear on this, by the way?
You've been doing it all the way through, Dan.
Sorry. it's pretty messed up that, like teachers, you know, teachers in primary school, secondary school, when they make their students pick their teammates, right? And then ultimately, there's always going to be one last person, right? That's a really horrible thing to do. Like, you're not meant to do that. I coach a load of young football kids, and we never let the kids pick their team because there's always going to be one person left, right? It's the rule of numbers. There's always going to be a person picked last. You never do that. You shouldn't do that. So it's horrible. Because of that, by the sounds of it, it sounds like you've programmed yourself to believe that you can't be successful in this. I mean, if you've told yourself a message for the last 20, 30 years, then the likelihood is you're probably going to start believing that message. So you need to kind of, and then it goes into then that you look at the influencer generation that we're currently living in, where it's Gymshark girls in leggings with big butts. It's lads who are absolutely rigged, tanned up, going, hey guys, get on my body shred program. And the likelihood is those people probably don't walk around like that. It's very, very hard to maintain. It's doable, but it's hard to maintain. The likelihood is they'll have a big batch of photos created, big batch. And then in December, when everyone else is tucking into their Christmas pudding, they're posting their pictures that they had it done in June and going, hey guys, look at me. Well, you're then skewing the whole thing. People now think you look like that normal. People think that's a normal metric for success. So it's a really the health and fitness industry is really, really toxic. That's why we created our Accountability Academy. You will never see a picture on our Instagram of a before and after, because I can't imagine, Joe, if you came to me, I you know how you see testimonials of people who are like done their before and after. I would never say to a client, hey, okay, so I want you to take a selfie of you. You know, you've come to me, you've probably low on self-esteem, you're low on self-confidence, you want to lose a bit of weight. Can you take a selfie of me in your knickers and your bra and pants? I'm going to post it on my Instagram. And then in about 3 months, I'm going to do a before and after. Like, that's not good. Who wants to fucking see that? Like, no, nobody wants to do that. But so going back, I'll end up waffling, sorry. it goes back to then like looking at the metrics for success again, doesn't it? If you're looking at fitness influencers and Gymshark girls, and all these other people who have got the tight waist and that's what their parents are at, and you say that's not aspirational for you, well, it doesn't have to be. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to look at that as a metric of success. For you, it might be, hey, I just want to run a fucking 5K. I want to run a 5K. And then that will be your metric for success. And then it's kind of like, It's kind of like when you're starting a business, you see all these other business people who are driving really nice cars and built really big businesses. It's really easy to compare, right? It's really, really easy to compare. And I always say social media is a really, really toxic place because it's very easy to see your older, better looking equivalent over there and you automatically start comparing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great quote saying that comparison's the thief of joy. Yeah. It's really easy to look at all these fitness influencers who are really skinny and muscly and all this stuff and go, well, I don't look like that. I can never look like that, which means I hate the whole thing. I don't want to do it.
Yes.
I'd rather not even get started because it's a game I don't want to play.
Yeah.
The reality is you're in charge of the game you choose to play. You don't have to play that game. Life's a game.
And it's kind of sticking your lane, isn't it? I think this is it. Sticking your own lane, because it is so easy. Even if you felt like I felt most of my life that, well, I'm not good at sport. I guess it is changing. You know, that is a story that has been playing and it's changing that belief. Because I'll tell you a really funny story, right? I'm going to tell this on my podcast. I was doing a bit of a challenge. I think we were both part of the challenge and it was 10,000 steps a day. And like bit by bit, I mean, I'd had at the beginning of this year some like medical issues, like a very bad anemia, which meant I couldn't really breathe very well. So doing any form of exercise, it was a struggle just to get out of bed. But, you know, as I've been working on that, I started really slowly with like the number of steps I was doing. I've been building it up. And then it was getting to a habit of 10,000 steps every day, but also drink 3 liters of water a day. So I'm on this date. So there is a point to this about the belief thing. So I'd had like probably like 2 liters of water, went for my 10,000 steps. And I think I'd got to, I don't remember what it was, but I essentially ended up running 2K, which I've not run because I really needed the loo. I really needed the loo. And I thought, I need to get back. And I just said to myself, I'm a runner.
Yeah.
And you know, and because I kept saying I'm a runner and I need the loo, I ran 2K. Never done it. Like, well, I've done it like a long, long time ago, but I haven't done it recently. So I think it's amazing in terms of mindset, how you frame things, what you believe you can do. And clearly, you know, for me, it's just the little tip was just drink a bit more water and it'll get you moving down the street. So I think mindset is massive. So one last question then. If there was one piece of advice that you could give somebody who was constantly beating themselves up about their perceived lack of progress, what would it be that you'd say to them to help them?
Probably just join my academy. So if people were struggling with their lack of progress,
and they're beating themselves up because they're not being consistent. Maybe they're not holding themselves to account to do this. What advice or tip?
I think you have everything you do, you have to have a reason why you're doing it. And it's really cheesy to say, oh, know your why and all that kind of stuff. And it's really, really cheesy. And it's kind of been, you know, bastardized because everyone says, oh, you know, you need to know why you're doing to me. But if, for example, you're on a health and fitness kick and you want to, you know, be healthier and you're building something for longevity, you need to know the reason why you're doing that. As you know, running your own business isn't always the easiest thing. There's going to be days where you're like, oh, this is harder. And it's the same in health and fitness, right? There's going to be days when it's raining outside, you wake up, you're tired, you're sore, and you're looking at the healthier food options and you're looking at the Domino's pizza menu going, it'd be really easy to do that now. But you need to remember what, you know, if you're looking at your lack of progress and stuff, you need to know why you're doing it. And if you have a really good reason why you're doing something, that really helps in the times of self-doubt and the struggle, because like I said, life's a game and there's going to be a struggle at some point. You can't, it's not always sunshine and rainbows without a doubt, like especially in health and fitness. There's going to be days where some of your training runs or your workouts are going to be an absolute breeze and you're motivated and you love it. There's going to be some days where you're like, and you've got to drag yourself there. I always say that, you know, motivation and discipline are like cousins, and I said this a lot, and that like you can't have one without the, you can't always rely on motivation to get stuff. You have to have discipline there as well. You need to, you know, you just need to learn to surf the waves of motivation, because motivation is going to come and go. You just need to learn how to surf it, because it's not always going to be easy, but you need to know, like, why did I start? And this is what I'm going to do. This is what I've said I'm going to do. And if it's kind of like a habit, if you keep letting yourself off and go, all right, I'll start on Monday. If you program yourself to believe that, then it's really easy to keep letting yourself off. If you just say, no, this is what I'm going to do, I've said I'm going to do it, and actually do it, you start building up that habit of doing what you said you're going to do. And it's hard. It's not always easy. There's going to be, you know, that's something you have to build in itself.
Yeah, totally. And I know that one of the little tricks that I use sometimes when I feel like that is, okay, Joe, I know you don't want to do it, but just do a little bit. And then it's, you've done that little bit, just do a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And it's amazing, actually. You start to build each little step.
Yeah, exactly.
It's momentum, isn't it? Every step you build a momentum. So great. So Dan, where can people connect with you?
Oh, I love that. So on Instagram, we're at the Accountability Academy. On Facebook, randomly enough, I think it's the Accountability Academy, but I think you could put the DB Accountability Academy. I think I messed up the names. And then, yeah, we've recently just released, like, for anyone who is like right at the start of their health and fitness journey, like really right at the start, I've just created this product and service called Accountability 21. It's a 21-day health and fitness challenge, and essentially the whole goal of it is just to build better habits and you haven't finished. You'll have a one-to-one with me, we'll set goals, you'll have like a team community of people all striving to do the same workouts, and you have mobility exercises, and it's a real foundational level to really get you started and really start building momentum. There's that old saying, isn't it, it's 21 days to build a habit. Well, I believe it's like 21 days to build a habit if you get the right repetitions in, keep getting the repetitions in, and that's why we built it. And my goal for that one day is to have loads and loads of people into that, and it just becomes this really, really positive community of people from all different backgrounds trying to help each other. And that's amazing. The goal.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm in with that.
I know. I can't wait.
So, Dan, it has been so fantastic to talk to you.
No, I love that. Thank I could speak to you all day.
Thanks so much, Dan.
Yeah. Sounds good. Right. Thank you so much. And I'll see you soon, Joe.
You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Joe Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.